There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Does World Poetry Day mean anything? Do you keep up with poetry, the happenings of poets, what they're up to?
Yeah, I'm always.
You're on top of that?
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Okay, Sonal, you on top of poetry? You have a favourite poem.
Well, I enjoy slam poetry. It's okay. Always fun to watch that.
Okay. Let me see, Mohammed Suleiman, you got a favourite poem?
Not really. Just there's one poem that really sticks out from my past, and that's In Flanders Field, which is a World War I poem that has to do with Canada. And we used to sing it out during Remembrance Day.
See, everybody has one. Yeah. And we all kind of use it, whether we know that we're doing it or not. And poetry kind of, I don't know, I wonder if it's kind of still a little bit under the radar for most of us. But in some way or another, you use some sort of rhythmic speech at some point most days, don't you? Do you think you do that? I think I do.
Yeah, especially when your job is talking for so long, as we often do.
Some would question the relevance of that, wouldn't they, NLT? But I think a lot of people do. So we'll try and maybe celebrate that a little bit later on. But it is World Poetry Day, March the 21st. Lots to talk about, lots online about this. But it's kind of worth running through maybe some memorable pieces of poetry that perhaps you've enjoyed. We all learn things in school, and lots of it sticks with you, or sticks with us as well. So we'll look at that later. Right now, Mohammed Suleiman's here, though, to talk about other things, or perhaps more important things. Let's look at some of the stories that you're following today. The first one is the rise of a viral disease that's known as the silent killer.
That's right. So doctors have issued a warning about the number of people in the Arab world with hepatitis C that could be rising sharply over the next 20 years. Now, we know that hepatitis C is an infection that can lead to severe liver disease. And like you mentioned, Tim, it is called a silent killer. And that's because there are very, very few symptoms attached to it. So many times it goes underdiagnosed until a later stage when the liver is completely damaged, right? Now, the number of people who have hepatitis C here in the UAE is actually quite small compared to the rest of the Arab world. So in the UAE, only around 1% of the population has hepatitis C. But when you look at the rest of the Arab world, the numbers are quite worrying. For example, 16% of Egypt's population has hepatitis C, and in total, around 20 million people across the Arab world have the infection. Now, earlier today, I spoke with Dr. Sam Kosma, who is the senior medical manager at Gilead Sciences Middle East. He told me that while there are very, very few symptoms, there are several major risk factors to look out for.
Hepatitis C is a virus, and it's a blood-borne virus. What does it mean? It means that it is transmitted through blood. So all the procedures where the blood of the person gets in contact with the virus, this is a risk area. So some of the risk factors, for example, to mention is drug users who inject drugs, actually. People who do tattoos in unregulated places. People who received blood transfusion before 1992, hemodialysis patients, people who are born to HCV-positive mothers, people who receive medical care in high endemic countries like Egypt or Africa. So these are the main risk factors. They're not all the risk factors, but the main ones.
Okay, so Mohammed, what are authorities here in the UAE saying that they're doing to stem this rise of hepatitis C then?
All right, so the main thing that they're trying to do is raise awareness about the importance of getting screened early. If hepatitis C is caught on time, it can be completely cured. There is medication out there that can help you get rid of the disease completely, but if it's not too late. The Ministry of Health has also launched an awareness campaign on social media about the infection. Sorry, they've also set up a 24-hour WhatsApp group to support those who are HCV positive. So there are things being done, but the main message here is that if you have any of those risk factors, get yourself checked ASAP. So here is Sam Kosma once again from Gilead Sciences Middle East talking about the importance of getting screened.
Really encourage people who think they might have at least one risk factor to test themselves, because the test is available in the whole country and very easy to be done. And the good news is that the treatments, all the treatment options are available as well in the UAE, and they are very efficacious, attaining a cure rate of 100% with good safety profile. So the message here is that if you think you might have the disease, don't let it evolve and get to a late stage where the complications might arise, but test yourself today, get diagnosed, and get cured.
That was Dr. Sam Kosma from Gilead Sciences Middle East explaining about the importance of getting screened early for hepatitis C.
Okay, so the next story you have for us is a warning for tourists from here in the Emirates who are in New York at the moment.
That's right. So the Consulate General of the UAE in New York has urged Emirati nationals and tourists to be careful as yet another massive snowstorm approaches the northern eastern part of the US. Now, we know that New York is one of the most popular outbound destinations for tourists traveling from the UAE, and this is the fourth winter storm that the city will face in the last 3 weeks. They're expecting strong winds and up to a foot of snow over the next 24 hours. So conditions on the ground in New York, not too ideal. So far, more than 1,600 flights have already been cancelled. Emirates Airline has cancelled 4 flights to and from New York. I believe 2 of those were from Dubai as well. They're advising passengers to check the status of their flights before they set off on their travels. Residents and tourists in New York can also call the Consulate General of the UAE for assistance if they need to do so.
What is it at the moment? What is it with the weather at this time of year? Because my mum sent me pictures of the snow there in the UK. So different, but you know, the beast from the east, the mini beast from the east, that's hit, and it's unseasonally cold. New York suffering.
It's quite late for all of this, right? I mean, the peak of winter is well past, right? January, yeah. February was a couple of months ago, and it's like midway through March, and we have snowstorms all across the world. So maybe something to be said for climate change. Who knows?
Yeah, some people might say it's global warming, climate change, those kinds of things.
Well, indeed, we'll get meteorological types on the text line in a minute. Well, it's this, and this is how it works, and it's a cold front from the you know wherever it's
from.
No,
I had a friend going to New York. Was apparently going today and couldn't go. Obviously, their flight was cancelled. So, yeah. Although, would you really want to be there with it being so bad?
It's a good point.
In terms of your holiday, it's not going to be the same, is it?
Emma Brain is there at the moment. It's worth giving her a call. I mean, she's probably asleep, I would guess, now. How far is New York behind? Is it 8 hours, 10 hours?
Why are you asking me?
You know about flying to places and stuff. Your husband's a pilot. Call him up quickly and say, what time, honey, is it in New York?
What's the time in Cape Town, Natalie? Yeah, that one you should know.
You'll know that one.
4 hours.
4 hours, there we go.
No, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours. 2 hours, sorry.
All right, so there you go.
2:13.
2:13 in Cape Town. Fantastic.
Mohamed Suleiman, ARN News Centre. Nice to see you. Thank you.
You too.
Appreciate it. 4:15 it is, which reminds me, actually, later on, we're going to be talking water scarcity again. It is part 4 today, NLT. What's going on?
It is, yeah. Actually, I wouldn't mind getting Mohamed's input on this because, Mohamed, you were there not so long ago as well, and this was, they were building up to this point where it was, you know, there's a lot of stress on the water when you were there.
Yeah, I was actually there in August, so 4 or 5 or 6 months back, and I remember that every single hotel we went to, there were big signs there saying that please be careful about your water consumption, have a shower instead of a bath so you don't lose much water. So it's interesting to see where it's all come down to now, and I must say I've been really enjoying Natalie's series on this. I've been listening every day at 6, and it's very eye-opening, and especially how we here in the UAE shouldn't follow in that same path. What can we do here to make sure that we don't end up in that same situation?
Well, this is the thing. We were talking about this last night. Consumption here is something like, was it 550 litres a day. International average is between 170 and 330. So yeah, we're using a lot more water, possibly double the international kind of standard, if you like. But did you find, having been in South Africa a while ago and having seen that, and when it's in front of you all the time, you pay attention, you have to pay attention, has it changed the way you consume water?
I'd like to say it did. I mean, you automatically become more conscious of your water consumption. I think it's just small habits that we need to change, even if something like leaving the tap on when you're brushing your teeth or something.
That's
like
that's the one that you definitely change. That's the thing that I've definitely changed since I've come back. I do not leave the water running when I brush my teeth now. Never ever. Even when I wash my face, put the soap on my face, wet my face, and then I, you know, sort of rub it all in and then I wash it off. But in the past, I would have just left the tap running the whole time while I was doing that. Those are the two things that I've noticed really different. Yeah.
Yeah, and something you take for granted so much living over here, that what if we had a restriction put on how many times a day we could shower or how much water we could use in our day. So it's definitely an eye-opener.
It's a campaign starting. Colgate and Michael Phelps are joining up. Did you see this today? Joining efforts, getting together. It's a Save Water campaign, and it's to encourage us to do exactly what you've been talking about, to turn off the tap when you're brushing your teeth. Very easy to do. It's kind of an absent-minded thing to do, but that's something we're going to start to see. There you are. #turnofftheTap. is going to go along with it as well.
Like they've been listening all week.
It kind of is. There's another thing as well. World Water Day too. Coca-Cola stepping up efforts to tackle water scarcity in the MENA region. So it's kind of everywhere you look now. So, you know, it is front of mind. So important to think about. That's at 6, just after 6 o'clock tonight, part 4 of our Natalie's NLT, I should say. I used your first name, isn't that weird?
I know, you've not called me Natalie in
ages. I've called you Natalie for ages. NLT, or Natalie Lindo-Taylor, part 4 of your series to come. Mohammed, nice to talk to you, thank you.
You too.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.